Okay, hey guys, it is Chloe again from Chloe Said It. I'm so excited to share this episode with you. I have on my really good friend, Christopher Brown. We're going to talk about interracial dating, being a queer man in Portland, just all the aspects. And so I'm really excited for you to tune in. And here it is. Oh my God, Christopher. I'm so excited to have you
on.
I'm
excited too. This is going to be fun. I can't wait to get into the nitty gritty.
I know, and I haven't seen you in...
I know.
I feel like we do this, though.
Yeah. I'm not a true Sagittarian. I've got double Aquarius tendencies, my rising and my moon.
No way. Wait, how did I not know that?
No, we've talked about this. We talked about this. That one time when your mom hit on me and said that we would both have beautiful children together.
I remember that. Yes. Okay. I remember that.
Yes, I go through these moments, and I think it's because of my Aquarius moon and rising where I just like vanish from the world, and then I come back and I'm like, who's this new being?
Yeah.
Like I've grown my hair. I've got locks now.
Yes, and I love these shoulder caps. Are just,
I know.
I know.
This sweater.
It's really accentuating.
It's been a while, and I've been going to the gym, working on my fitness, you know?
Okay. Amazing. Well, obviously, probably a lot of the listeners don't know who you are.
No.
Who are you? What do you do? And how the hell did you end up in Portland?
Oh, wow. That is a lengthy story.
Yeah.
My name is Christopher Brown. My social media page, photos_for_dummies.
Yes.
I am an amateur photographer. You and I have like some little projects in the works. I work for a local coffee company in Portland. I've got my fingers in all the things. I'm just, doing me.
Yeah.
Being sober. Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you. It's been a journey, but living in Portland has been one of those things where it's taught me a lot about myself, including coming out, being queer, as well as like figuring out other aspects of my sexuality.
Yeah. Wow. So where did you originally move here from?
I grew up in a little town called Leesburg, Virginia, in Loudoun County in Northern Virginia, that was predominantly a white suburban.
Yeah.
It was interesting in the sense where I didn't get exposed to a lot of Black culture where I grew up. And like moving to Portland, it was easy for me to. Well,
yeah.
It was easy for me to assimilate because I was like, okay, this is exactly what I experienced back east.
Yeah.
But here I found that it was easier to access the being that I am today. And I feel like I'm so much more myself than I would have been able to be if I had stayed back east.
Oh my God, I'm sure. I mean, I'm also from a tiny all white town. And the only representation that was there of women that were queer were like these truck drivers, all butch, like masculine presented. And I was like, well, I'm not that, so I must not be gay.
So, no, you don't have to be butch.
No, now
to
I
be
know.
A lesbian.
Now I know. I mean, I kind of went from like, am I bisexual? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm
had
a
that
lesbian.
Phase too.
Right.
I had that phase with a girl. As soon as I moved to Portland, I tried to date this one girl. She's like, bitch, you gay. You are so gay.
You are so gay.
I was like, you like the dick.
I mean, you and me both.
I was like, okay, yeah, well, maybe. And
you're
then
like,
I
I'm
did.
Not there yet.
I was like, okay, yeah, all
right. You're right.
You're okay.
So you didn't kind of come to terms with your sexuality till like later in life.
Yeah, I moved to Portland just before my 21st birthday. And I tell this story all the time to friends. When I first drove into Portland, it was after 5 days of cross-country driving in a Geo Prism, which was the worst.
Oh, my God.
It was terrible. But me and my work and high school best friend drove across the country. And as soon as we got into town, there was this giant billboard. And I don't know if you remember the gay chatting website, gay.com.
No.
Not to plug gay.com if they still exist, but there was this huge billboard and I saw that and I was like, maybe I should try that.
Maybe I'll hop on that side.
Maybe I'm gay. And lost my V card to a random person off of Craigslist.
No way. You know what? I know so many people that have like hooked up with people from Craigslist.
You know, Craigslist was like the easy way to get into it. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like knock this out. See if this is something I'll try a second time. And then I did. And I was like, yep.
Yep, this fits. This is it for me.
But let's like not jump fully into the pool and call myself bisexual. Even though like later in life now, as 30 plus old man now, I'm just like, you know what? I will not say no to the vagine.
Really?
I'm serious. Like I had a conversation with my now partner, and I was like, you know, I really love our relationship, but if we ever open up our relationship, I might try to explore that a bit more.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you are partnered.
Yes.
You're partnered up with, and I know him, and he's amazing.
He's lovely.
The sweetest little being. Well, okay, so dating
tried this
in Portland.
Baked cookie. I just like gave you his little pfeffernuss.
It was a pfeffernuss. It's a German cookie that he made. I love it. But so you
Mennonite.
Happened
salt of the earth.
You happened to find someone that is amazing here in Portland, but did you have those stints of Portland being absolutely trash?
Girl.
Cuz we've been through it.
Every black person I have ever talked to that has lived in the city, that has dated as a queer person mm-hmm. or a straight person for that matter, has had like some racial interaction with their significant other that they had dated. And it's either made or broken their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Most times it's broken their relationship.
Well, remember my last one, the engagement, that was a big component.
Yeah.
And it was like the lack of education on Black experience.
Yeah. Yes. I remember that one.
Let's y'all put that outside of our brains. That was a tumultuous time for me.
That was the, yes. I, we'll just both agree that we are smarter people.
Wow.
Yeah, like my relationship now is wonderful. We have, I feel like with this relationship, I really lucked out in my time in Portland, where I have gotten to meet amazing men and women and had some really great relationships. But this particular being has my full and complete attention.
Mm.
And it's been the only time that I've dated in the city where I've been like, you know, maybe fully investing is not such a bad idea.
Right.
And it was only because he was fully and authentically himself.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. He's...
And how did you two meet? I can't remember.
We met on the apps.
Which one?
I'm not even going to try.
Are you going to say Grindr?
Yeah. No, actually, no. It was Scruff. It was Scruff.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's the daddy bear version of Grindr, where Grindr was like all about the twink boys and all that.
Yeah.
But Scruff is more of the let's wear flannel and go hiking types.
I like that. A little bit more wholesome-ish, maybe.
I mean, we had, in our defense, we had met each other at a party when I was in another relationship.
Ooh.
And no. And it was like, no.
Me trying to make it into tea.
No. Let me tell you, it was not tea. We met each other at this party, and I quite literally walked into this party, was introduced one by one to everybody, and I breezed past him. Didn't even, oh, I was wow. like, hi, how are you? Walked right past
Dead.
Him, went into the bathroom, and I tell this story to him and his friends all the time. And I was like, I went into the bathroom because I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be in the relationship that I was in. I didn't want to be out drinking and partying like we had always been doing in that relationship that I was with. But I just went into the bathroom and just like smoked a joint by myself, took some deep breaths, psyched myself up, walked out. Took a shot of like tequila, a couple of shots of tequila, and then just joined the party.
Yeah.
And that was my introduction to the person I'm dating now. Is like this guy. And he tells it from this perspective of being like, oh my God, he was so beautiful. He like walked into the room and then he was just like, hi, and then walked away from me.
Meanwhile, you're like, freaking out.
Fuck me. Okay.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. There's just so many stories. So your partner is Caucasian.
Yes, he's a cute little white man.
From the land of Caucasus.
The land of Caucasia.
I could go on to some inappropriate jokes there, and I won't.
I mean,
it's problematic.
He's lovely everywhere on himself.
Ooh.
Anyway, but yeah, he's a white man, and we addressed our interracial relationship-ness.
Yeah.
Probably pretty early on. I just remember being out of that old relationship and feeling just very stifled and disregarded and just abused and just feeling less of myself. And I entered into this essentially friendship with this person, and I was like, I'm gonna be fully myself. Yeah. He's either gonna like it or not. We met each other and it was pretty natural, but he's kind of a nerd. I love it.
Aww.
But he tried to shake my hand in the middle of our date when we met each other.
What?
He was like, I was like, hey, my name's Chris. And he's like, hi, my name's Austin. And reaches his hand out to try and shake my hand. Aww. I was like, what are you doing?
Wholesome.
Yeah, he's very wholesome. He's lovely.
Does the topic of race ever come up in your relationship?
Topic of race come up in our relationship? It comes up when... it came up a lot early on.
Yeah.
I will say this, in every interracial relationship, there has always been a a conflict of some sort, and it's been a conflict of cultural differences. And I typically like to present myself as being someone that's easygoing in a situation and is in control of themselves. Until I'm like having fun, especially when I was drinking.
Right.
I would just let loose. But now I'm much more even keeled and much more in tune with myself.
Yeah. No.
But I feel like with the beginning of our relationship, a lot of our cultural differences were just how strong-willed of a person I am.
Yeah.
And he's also a strong-willed person. But it's more of like boulder meets wall.
Yeah.
Type of personality. I'm very much the boulder. He's very much the stone pillar who's just like, I am not a movable force. And I'm like, I will bulldoze you over. And he's like, will you?
You won't though.
And I'm like, fine. All right. Let's just sit here and rest together.
Yeah.
We've found like a great equilibrium to be able to just enjoy each other's company. And I feel like if you're trying to find somebody that you can just enjoy time and space with without filling it with noise and clatter and just chit chat, it's gold. That's right there. That right there is gold.
Do you think it takes time to get to that point? It's like a kind of a form of intimacy, or at least for some people, or is it like something that you think just like clicks off the bat?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of a two-parter question. Like, if you have the willpower and the drive to last out the relationship and fight through those moments where it's hard, you can definitely reach those goals that you want. Yeah. But I feel like with a lot of queer culture, just want it now. People just want the Instagram life. Yeah. They want the showy life. They want to be able to go out to parties and like showcase that their everything is fabulous. And it's like, no, life's not like that.
Well, Instagram is a highlight reel anyway. It's not even a show and what's going on. But I've learned as well, like, especially like you're saying in queer culture, that's kind of how I've always entered into every relationship, at least, you know, since I came out and kind of walked into my adulthood, was here's everything about me. I want to know everything about you. Let's become a unit and fall in love and blah, blah, blah. And I've realized like recently that's actually not, sometimes it's really not healthy. It's great if that happens for some people, but I've learned that it's deciding that sometimes it's going to take time and be gradual to really get to know somebody and
boundaries.
And I was learning boundaries isn't always what you let in. It's what you let out.
Yes.
And that's been the biggest fucking thing for me. I'm like, my boundaries are so big. And I'm like, bitch, you have none for yourself. No, though.
Exactly.
I've never.
That's exactly. Oh, I will tell you this. And this is something you and I both have in common with sobriety, is that when you are not sober, mm-hmm. you have a lack of boundaries for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In every
in
facet.
Every facet imaginable. You just, everything you want to take in. You want to do everything. You want to see everything. You want to mm-hmm. experience everything. Yeah. You want to go to that next party. You want to stay out late. You want to drink that next drink. You want to do that next drug or whatever. But I found with my sobriety that I have so much less I have so much less tolerance for bullshit.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. No. And I found my sobriety within this relationship. And he and I were just talking about this maybe a couple of weeks before my birthday that just passed. And he was like, I'm so proud of you. And one, you find someone that you are in a relationship with and just tells you that they're proud of you.
I love that.
You're just like immediate boner. He was like, did you just get a boner from? And I was like, just it's from the heart. This boner is from the heart.
This boner is from the heart. Thank you.
But yeah, I found my sobriety within this relationship, and he told me that he has seen like a piece in my life that he didn't necessarily see in me before when we first started dating. Like we would go drinking. I would leave him at a party and I would go across the street to another bar mm-hmm. to go drinking with friends that I met at the party that I was just at with him and then come back.
I've done that. No. And I think that's real. I mean, you knew me before I kind of, you know, took that time of sobriety to really get my shit together. And I feel like, one, a completely different human. I know that I am, growth-wise. And there is I'm able to connect on such a deeper level with the people that I see. And there's not as much tolerance for bullshit. Like I used to drink around the people that I couldn't stand and it made it more tolerable. Now I'm just like, yeah, I don't want to be here. I'll just leave. Like, why should I do something that's not healthy for myself to be an energy that is already not serving me anyway?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like what?
I remember going to parties that I hated.
Yeah.
I just hated the people and I hated the conversations. I hated the fact that we were all just gathered around talking shit about somebody's life. And it was like, you have no clue what's going on in that person's life.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I mean, okay, so we kind of, or you talked about a little bit at the beginning about, you know, if you ever opened your relationship, is that a conversation that you've had? And if you have, how did it come up?
I like sex.
You're not alone in that.
I brought up the conversation. He's a sweet, sweet, sweet man. He came out later in his 20s. And so he had a bit of, he still has like a little bit of just like blockage.
Yeah.
With how he views himself for having come out so late. But I'm just like, you know, everybody has their own journey.
Right.
But early on in our relationship, I definitely pushed it a little bit harder because, you know, I was still coming from that mindset of the old relationship where we gotta like spice up our sex life with other people. We gotta do all this stuff. And granted, I enjoyed myself. I was safe. But there were definitely aspects in that old relationship where my ex used my access to black and brown bodies to help him enjoy black and brown bodies. And it was like, okay, this is obvious because strangers are coming up to me and saying, you need to watch out for your boyfriend. He's acting foul at the bar that you both are at. Yeah.
Rein that in.
Strangers and then, you know, some friends of mine.
Oh my God. Yeah, I've been open in, let's see. Well, I was in kind of like a poly relationship when I was like 21. That was just like a party thing. But in my last relationship, we decided to open it because, you know, she was overseas and doing these things that for me going 3 months or XYZ, whatever, mm-hmm. is not realistic. But so we tried it and I always found it to be messy for me because unless you're wired for that, mm-hmm. there is so much gray area and such a thin line for it to become, really messy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we agreed on that. And then of course I acted on it and, you know, found a person and we had, sex a few times and she was just crushed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I think about it now. I think then I was really driven by, you know, in that stage of life, it was like the highs, you know, always chasing what's mm-hmm. what party, what's this, who am mm-hmm. I? And, but now I'm just like in a more even keeled, you know, settled place in my life, which you don't have to not be settled to be open. But for me, I'm mm-hmm. just, I'm content with my person.
I feel like that is utterly beautiful. I also feel like, When you're young and you're trying to explore your sexuality, you just want to absorb as much as you can and feel as good as possible. And sometimes it's at the detriment of your mental well-being.
Yeah.
I just knew that in that old relationship, I needed out.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But with my new relationship, we tried inviting a third into our bedroom and it went really well, but it was also like, I'm also like a super huge nerd. And so I was trying to find ways to break the ice between the both of us.
Oh God.
And it was finally like my boyfriend was just like, all right, shut up. And then he like initiated all the sexual activity. Cause I didn't want to like push it past the point where he was going to feel uncomfortable. He is kind of still fairly new to just sexual exploration.
Mm-hmm.
I've had quite a bit of sexual exploits in my time, and thinking back on it, I wish that I had a bit more reservation like he has.
Yeah.
Just to hold a little back into the tank, just so you can keep like a fresh perspective on your like boundaries, like we were saying earlier, just keeping a hold of your own personal boundaries. And I feel like that is incredibly important. I feel like he's doing it the right way. But the thing is, whenever he gets hit on by someone and whenever we go out of town, we both like admit to each other that we we put Scruff or Grindr on our phone just to see what's going on. And he'll tell me that somebody's hit on him. I'm like, all right, show me.
Yeah.
Show me them photos.
Show me.
Show me them receipts. And like the shit that people say to your significant other while they think that.
I remember that one that you told me about. The person that had asked them to fuck or something. And then you.
Oh, yeah. That was his ex. They had a night out where they were just like getting together and having drinks, and you know, they're good friends, and I'm not about getting in the way of somebody maintaining an adult relationship with their ex. But when your ex steps to you and says, "Hey, do you think we'll ever hook up again?" after you've stated, you know, you're in a monogamous relationship. Yeah. And you stated that, and they're like, "No, I think we'll fuck again in the future."
No.
And it's like, that's crossing the fucking line. You not only are you crossing a line with me because I am sort of the polite friends with this person,
yeah.
You're crossing a line with the friendship that you have with this person that you claim to cherish and care about. And you know me, I'm a bit of a mama bear. Especially yeah. in my older years now. I'm like,
I feel it though.
I turned 37 and immediately I'm just
no
like,
no way.
Yeah. I turned 37 and I'm like immediately just like, I'm an old man now with my gravelly old voice.
Oh my gosh. You're such a babe. I would have never. I feel, oh my gosh. I literally always thought like maybe you were 2 years older than me.
No. No, I am 37. November 28th.
Oh, my God. No, I said happy birthday.
You did.
Okay.
You did.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, when you have your SO's, like, ex step into you saying, yeah, we'll probably fuck, and it makes them feel uncomfortable and they tell you about it.
No.
I immediately turn into Mama Bear, and I'm like, all right.
Skirt.
I'm record skirt.
Yeah.
I need to like put on my white voice.
I'm you gotta code switch real quick.
Let me code switch and then text out this polite message to you, and then you like flip it and then try to make it seem like I'm an asshole for like, hey, you need to like be polite and respectful of people's space, and their bodies and what they're telling you.
Sick.
No, I will call you out like I'm doing right now. You know who you are.
Listen to this podcast.
You know who you are.
Feel attacked. No, and I've seen the mama bear a little bit, and that's why I introduced you to the person that I'm seeing is, I mean, I was like, okay, let me know what you think.
He's fucking sexy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yum. Yes, that's all me.
When I walked into that restaurant and the two of you were sitting there, I was like...
Mm-hmm. You see it. No, I think
he's a lovely man.
I think we complement each other very well aesthetically.
Yes. And then he's like incredibly smart. He's he's just an all around wonderful talker. He just gives off this really confident, very gracious persona.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really happy for you because
I haven't talked about my love life on here in a while. So, yeah, no, I think, and I think he's incredibly patient because
Aquarians love to be different.
Yes, that and just like, ew, the first month and a half was just like all my like trauma and like patterns I've had in past relationships come up. It was so gross. Like, I'm like, why the fuck did I say that? Why have I been acting this way? And also,
it's because of the programming. You date people that treat you like trash, and you have, as Black people, we've had to like uphold like these moral values for ourselves and like essentially do that bullshit saying of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah.
But it chips at you.
It does. It
chips at you. Every little bit chips at you, and it turns you into the person that you are in that moment. But when you meet somebody that treats you like the person that you have always felt like you should have been treated like,
and it's different. You're like,
who the fuck are you?
I'm like, wait a minute. This is fucking, I know what the fuck you're doing. And then you kind of diminish the moments that they're vulnerable with you. Cause I'm like, this is a fucking lie. Da-da-da. I know what you're doing with the, and it was interesting. So it's like, I've had all these moments where I was like, yikes, that's not, you know, what I want to portray. But he's been very gracious. And I mean, it's still new, but learning, I've learned a lot in this short amount of time, but I'm happy, and I'm happy to be happy.
Oh, my God. Happy looks good on you.
Thank you.
Happy looks good on me, too, but happy looks fabulous on you. I've seen you, like, a few times while in this relationship, and every time I've seen you, it's been smiles, and and it's like, oh, she's just coming from somewhere or going somewhere fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, okay, so there's been times where, like, I don't know. I think it's also when I feel like the men that I've dated mainly have kind of been more intrigued by me for what I do for a living, how I look, my body, things like that. And so
such superficial bullshit.
Yeah. And so I think I was given a lot of things like flowers or this or that, because it was just kind of ways of like keeping me around. So then when love I was in languages. This,
we're talking about love languages, people.
Yes. So, but then when I'm in this relationship, I was like, where the fuck are the flowers? And he's like,
where are my gifts, bitch?
No, literally, I beefed with him for weeks. Like, where the fuck is my shit? Because I'm used to it. But even though for them, it was coming from a place of like, not shit. But so I've learned that there are a shit ton of other ways. I mean, I still like my flowers. If you're listening, I will take some more. Thank you. But I mean, there's love languages, and not only how you like to receive, but also how you give love.
Yes.
It's a big thing.
I have learned that I don't like gifts.
Yeah.
Because I want to control what the gift is.
Okay, same.
And
that's why I'm like, hi, I like flowers, give it.
And I will confess this. My boo gave me a birthday gift that was very sweet. Did not work. At all.
Uh-oh.
We have to return it because it's not the right size.
Okay.
But we've started bridging this giving each other sexy gifts.
Ew.
Like, you gave me sexy underwear.
Okay.
And I'm not necessarily a sexy underwear kind of person. I'm like, I either have underwear on or I don't have it on.
Right.
It's either or. But he gave me these sexy underwear, and it was too small. And I was like, oh, it's fine. Maybe you can take it. It's fine. And then there was like another component to it. And I was like, oh, you should have this too. So I like gifted my gift back to him.
Oh, my God.
He was very gracious. Okay. He wasn't able to return it. So I was like, you should totally keep it. But this is my secret way of telling you, because I know you're going to hear this episode.
please don't give me gifts.
No, he knows that I don't like getting gifts unless I can guide him towards what it is that would be what it is that I would want. But underwear in it, baby. Unless it's a jock strap.
Hey.
Jock straps, I will wear.
Good in a jock strap.
I love jock straps.
You have, don't you have a photo in a jock strap on your feed? I feel like you do. I feel like I've liked it over and over and over again.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past me to put like some shit like that on my Instagram feed. I've been really into like black and white photography, but underwear gifts don't do it for me unless it's like, I like functional gifts.
Yeah.
Like I want. If I tell you something specific, it means it's probably because I want you to get it for me.
Yeah.
That's the gift that I want.
Yeah.
But I also have a fear of giving gifts because I want my gifts to be perfect.
Oh, my God. That's your Aquarian.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is me.
But my love language is quality time and physical touch. And the love language that I like getting is quality time. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on that physical touch because it's something that I didn't have when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I can be a bit of just like a stick in the mud when it comes to like physical affection, like PDA. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll hold your hand down while walking down the street. I'll kiss you in the car, you know, all that stuff. But I see these couples just like being overtly
smacking,
but it's mainly straight couples. And I think it's this inner fear that if I was to outwardly express that level of affection for my partner, mm-hmm. that I need to be alert on all fronts.
Yeah.
And that's like next level, like black queer trauma bullshit.
But it's not bullshit, because that is still a thing in some places, you know? That's super real.
In real life, I am a black man first. Secondary, I am a queer person. You see my skin before you hear anything out of my mouth or know that I'm in an interracial queer relationship.
No, absolutely. I mean, I've mainly been in interracial relationships, and even in my last one, like, we drove across the country and we would stop in these like little towns to get gas or something, and we were very touchy-feely, and so we would go into gas stations, and I would like, you know, grab her butt or something like that, and people would just be like, oh my god, they're gay. And so I totally get it, even in Portland. But I think, like, you're right, like you're saying, it's like deprogramming.
Yeah, I have to, like, thank God for my therapist.
Oh, God, I love mine.
Thank God for my therapist. She has taught me so many things to not be ashamed about, one of which is expressing your excitement for whatever it is that you are participating in. Like, whether or not it's work or your relationships or your friendships or your passion projects. Just showcasing yourself 100% fully and authentically towards whatever it is that you're doing. It's done wonders. I went to a party and I had never expressed to anybody that portrait photography was something that I am trying desperately to get into. Mm-hmm. But I did some headshots and a little photo shoot for a friend of mine because she's wonderful and beautiful, but she just got her master's and she needed headshots for whatever marketing is going on for the school for that. And so she asked me to do these shoots, to take these photos, and did it. Went to her birthday party, which was around the same time as mine, and she introduced me as her photographer friend, and I leaned into it. I, like, 100%. And her friend, who was just like, oh, you're a photographer. And I leaned and was like, yes, I am.
Yes, I am. I love it.
I told my therapist about it the following Tuesday, and she was like, how did it feel? And I was like, I couldn't stop smiling.
I couldn't stop smiling.
And I was, like, full on in it. And she was like, no. Continue that.
Yeah. Like you said, lean into it. Just go for it. I think that's huge. And I mean, it's almost like that, a little imposter syndrome.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Imposter syndrome lives deep within me. And it's, I was talking about this with Boothing last night in bed. And I was like, you know, I think a lot of what it is that I am afraid of when it comes to success is like actually pulling it off.
Yeah.
Pulling it off and then being like, and then next, what are you doing next? And so I've realized that you can't think in that kind of manner, and you just need to take it one step at a time. You pull it off. Okay. You plan the next thing the same way or a little bit of a modified way that you did the last thing. And then you take one step and you take another one And then you take another one mm-hmm. and you keep doing it.
Yeah. Just take it in strides. I love it. You're in such an amazing spot. And I always like, I love listening to just how you're kind of analyzing, going with the ebb and flow of your life and just growing. I'm always excited to hear where you're at.
I'm always excited to hear where you're at. You are.
Shit, I'm everywhere.
Girl. In movies, writing books,
oh, God.
Planning retreats.
Yes. I want to do all the things.
I know. I mean, Aquarians love to do all and every and experience all.
Yep. Every experience that life can give me, I want it all.
Shoot for the stars.
You land somewhere on the moon.
I mean, land on the moon, then you plan to shoot off from there, too.
Period.
Keep trying.
Yes. Well, usually this is a part of the show where we take a break and play a little game. So we're going to quickly take a break, come back, and then let's see what we're going to do.
All right.
Okay. Okay, we're back and we're going to play a little game. So actually, instead of me asking a few questions, Christopher is going to ask me three questions that I know nothing about. And I have to answer them or I have to shave my head.
I mean, you got a pretty shaped head, so I think you could rock it.
I don't want to. So I'll answer them all.
Yeah. All right. Question number one. Do you see yourself ever getting married?
I do.
Okay.
I think in any capacity, I mean, the person that I'm with is very traditional in that sense of like, you know, the big wedding, you know, officiating it. But I could do that, but I'd also be fine if someone wanted to do like a spiritual thing where the government's not involved. There's no piece of paper.
No piece of paper can tell me who I love.
Yeah. And I did it once and when I was very young and I think I would like to experience that as a woman mm-hmm. this time and just experience that.
As a woman?
Not like I am, you know, whatever. It's as a woman as in I came into my womanhood and yeah. understood who I am.
Instead of being your girl, getting married, you're like a full-fledged woman, full being. You know who you are.
Yeah.
Yes, everything to that, yes. All right, question number two.
Oh, God.
What's the craziest or kinkiest thing you've ever done sexually?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, craziest or kinkiest thing.
I kind of want to share mine. Can I share mine?
Yeah, you can. It gives me time to think about mine.
Okay. I like the outdoors.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, every fucking gay in this city loves the outdoors. That's like on every profile.
Likes to hike.
Loves to hike.
Camping on the weekends. Yeah.
Camping on the weekends.
Sick.
But I full on trained to hike the Pacific Crest Trail. But that's has nothing to do with this question. But I once had sex on a billboard off of a highway.
What? Wait.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
A billboard. You know, like when you're driving down the highway and you see those billboards just like off on the, I can hear you back there.
The audio engineers are losing it.
I was dating, this dude was a freak. I was dating this person and we were like driving down the road and I was like, that would be crazy if we could just get up there and fuck. And he was like, let's try. And so we got off like the nearest exit and then tried to figure out where the service road was.
Yeah.
Found it, pulled the car off the side of the road so it wouldn't get like flagged by the police or whatever. Hiked back. Had the hardest time trying to climb up this billboard because they raised the
ladder.
They raised the ladder. So we had to like
hop
we had to like hoist each other up to this thing. Commitment. And I'm like hanging by my legs, pulling this guy up me. And I was like, you know, this is going to be worth it.
Was it worth it?
I mean,
hey.
We did the deed and just like chilled out out there and smoked a doobie.
I was gonna say, I was like, you just chill after and be like, nice. And just, like,
yeah. No, that's exactly what we did. we just like finished what we finished our fucking and smoked a joint.
It's like
in the middle of the night. I don't even remember what the fucking billboard was. I don't even think it had any ads on it. It was just like this white background that we just fucked on. And climbed down afterwards and then went home. We broke up like a couple months later.
The billboard didn't save it.
No, the billboard did not save that relationship. That was one of my hoe phase moments where it was.
I had a good hoe phase.
Let's get a good hoe phase. That was like. I used to have this mantra where it was my hit it and quit it phase.
Oh yeah.
You would last 3 months and then you'd be done.
3 months? That's so long.
I mean,
for a hoe phase?
No, with the individual person. Of course I'm dating other people.
Oh, okay.
At the same time, but this person had a rotation of 3 months while I was going through like two other people. And then I'd circle out that person and bring a third into the rotation. It was convoluted and stupid and ridiculous. I'm glad that I'm not single anymore.
Oh, God.
Remembering names during sex was like the hardest thing because I was just like
weak.
Blank out.
I don't know.
And
so,
like, you know what? I just need to focus on one person.
Yeah. I think at this point in our lives, that's probably the best to do.
All right. Third question.
I didn't do mine.
Oh, well, no, I didn't ask you my third question. Oh, yes.
My second.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think. One, these are obviously very not PG-13, but with my ex, we were like messing around in the bedroom and I just thought, you know, choking's hot to me. Mm-hmm. And so, but I was thinking, like, I wonder how long I could sit on her face or like ride her face without her breathing. And so it would literally be this thing of like, I would put my whole weight down and then see until she like would do the tap. And then I'd get up and I'd be like, oh my God. And so we would like, it was like this whole thing of like, are you going to pass out? I'm like, it's kind of hot. So that was probably the kinkiest thing I've done.
That's some stuff right there. Being muffed out.
I love being in control. So I'm like, your life is literally in my hands. I could stay sitting.
I mean, I've had sex with one woman in my entire 37 years.
Wow.
And it was fan-fucking-tastic.
Really?
She's a good friend. She's still a good friend of mine. It's a little awkward because I know her boyfriend. But the story is that she, with my friend group, they would always call us baby's mama, baby's daddy.
Yeah.
And we're just like, no, we're just friends. It's fine.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. She knows that I'm gay. I know that she's straight. But she came and sat on my lap one evening at this like cabin or whatever and was twirling the back of my neck and I was like, it's gonna happen, girl.
It's gonna happen. You gonna get it.
You gonna get it. And she got
and
it.
She did.
She did.
And she got it.
She did.
Amazing.
Yeah. She worked it. It was memorable. And I that moment will forever be ingrained in my memory.
Yes.
And I'm still just kind of like, will it ever be the same if I go down this train of
probably.
But, you know, okay. Third question.
Number three.
Third question.
Oh, God.
Would you have another child?
I would with the right person. And we say right person, but do we ever really know if it's the right person? I would. But if something happened and I didn't, I would be totally fine because Ezra's a ray of sunshine.
Eazy-E. He is a dream child.
He's so chill, so independent. He's like, he's always been like that. But I would be down to have more, but I want to have them before 34. Because at this rate, Ezra's 18 by the time I'm 40. Mm. I'm free. So if I need to be like, by 40, this kid needs to be in like grade school. Mm-hmm. I need my daytime and I need to be very, very, very financially comfy because I already put my dreams aside so much when I was younger because I was a young mom. And so this point, if I'm like, hey, I'm going to go with dad to Greece or we're going to do this, like I want to be able to have nannies or, you know, be able to have family fly out so I can do these things that are important to me. You know, in my 40s.
Mm-hmm. Ez, I swear, he would make for a great brother to any person that came from you.
It needs to happen quick. So if my partner's listening, hey, you know, I need the ring and I need the sperm. I need them both.
Will you marry me? Injection.
Ejaculate, propose. They need to happen simultaneously. Please don't. Please don't do that.
He's such a lovely kid. Every time that I've been around your son, he's just like the moon and stars in your eyes every time.
He is
so funny too.
Funniest fucking person you'll ever meet. I love him. Well, we did our three questions. Thank you so much for being on and just sharing and being open and transparent. I love that. And that's really what I envisioned for the show initially, too. It was just appear into people's lives and hearts. And not all episodes have gone that way. But I really am grateful for your vulnerability. And sharing.
I love sharing personal stories and stuff. One, because you don't hear a lot of queer Black voices when it comes to the experience of life. It's very overshadowed by white counterparts, to be frank. And in media, I am so incredibly sick and tired of seeing queer narratives told from a white perspective.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It is infuriating how many movies and television shows on Netflix and HBO and all this stuff that I see. And it's like, where are the queer Black stories like me?
Yeah.
out in the world, like, where are they? And so part of me just wants to like create them myself, but
absolutely
I don't have the background in it, but who knows.
I don't need it. Just to find a whatever if the idea, run with it and make it.
I'm just saying, we could probably create some tintalas and stores.
Yes. Yes. So again, if people want to see who you are, follow you. Your Instagram handle is, again,
Photos for Dummies. Photos_4_dummies. It's convoluted, stupid. I took that name because at the time, the person I was dating, I hated his Instagram. And I thought his Instagram was dumb.
So you said for dummies.
Photos for Dummies.
I love it. Well, thank you again. And then up next, we'll just have our quick date recap. And then I'm going to say goodbye to you guys. So stay tuned. Okay, you guys, we are back with the date recap. I'm actually going to read some of the things that you guys have submitted in. I asked, tell me some positive dating experiences since it seems like there's so very many few. What has been the best date? So one of you had said it was an accidental date. It was just out for dancing and then a late night with listening to records and chats. That's super cute. Another one said, she took me to the Portland Van Gogh experience and it was as romantic as it could get. I love these. You know what? See, please don't ever stop sending me these because I just love a lot. Another one said, I met a man in Orlando and he's been everything I've been praying for and more. And I love that for you. This is so good. There are some wholesome things. Please keep sending me these. And I can quickly share about my latest date I went on. I went on a date recently to go get dinner with my now partner. And to be honest, if you're listening, babe, I'm so sorry.
But to be honest, in the beginning, I felt like it was a little bit awkward because I think in the back of like my mind, you know, it's supposed to be this like free flowing conversation, immediately like ooey gooey, all this stuff. And I realized that it doesn't have to always be like sexy and, you know, almost like putting on a show. And I just kind of shoved that to the side and then started talking about what I'm passionate about my work and my side projects. And then I realized as I'm showing more of who I am, that was actually kind of the missing link in a lot of things. So I think that's great. I had a wonderful time. We went to this cute little place. You guys should go to Pope House if you haven't been there. It's in Northwest. I love it. It's like a little hidden gem. Maybe not so hidden after I just said that. But you should go for a date night. And I think what I learned from that was just be yourself. You don't have to put on a fucking show. You don't have to talk about sex and sexy shit and, you know, all these things. Like, what are you passionate about? Because at the end of the day, that's what they fell for you for, is what you're about. What are you driven to do? And all those things. So don't water yourself down. Show who you are. And that is going to be more than enough. All right. Thank you for listening to that episode. It's probably one of my favorite episodes. My friend Christopher Brown was absolutely amazing and sharing. Go follow him on Instagram. And as well, thank you for listening to this on the Numbers radio station. I always want to give them a shout out for just being absolutely amazing and sharing their platform with me. If you want to know more about me, go ahead on Instagram. My handle is Chloe Alexandra XO. You'll see a little bit about my life, just kind of what I'm all about. And there's actually only 2 more episodes left in the season. I can't believe it. So binge it if you haven't heard them all yet. And I can't wait to share the next 2 with you. I hope you have an amazing week, and I will see you next time.